program you are about to hear, Bob's Slacktime Funhouse, is parody, satire, and comedy. Any reference to Bob, the Church of the Subgenius, religion, politics, or any other touchy subjects is intended only as humor and should cast no reflection on the high standards of WREK Atlanta, its staff, or that of Georgia Tech.
Welcome, futurists, cyberphiles, and the rest of you dateless wonders. And now to push this convention into hyperspace, the man who put the star in Star Wars, a real burr on the Darth Vader saddle.
Bob. You still got it, Bob.
Hello and welcome. Our topic today is UFOs.
Oh, of course, that's just the start.
Throughout recorded history, human society has been haunted by reports of unidentified flying objects in our skies, many of which have defied all attempts at scientific explanation or understanding. What are these phenomena and how can they be explained? With me today is Terence McKenna, a philosopher and thinker of note in the area of altered states of consciousness and alternative realities.
Yes, well, the ordinary approach to the UFOs has been to view them as visitors or intruders from a nearby star system that have come in metal ships for reasons of trade or scientific investigation or military conquest
or missionary activity.
Let me tell you, you're not the missionary type. You'd never last. And incidentally, you want to do mankind a real service? Tell funnier jokes.
And therefore, it is threatening. This is one of the reasons that I think it relates to the psychedelic experience, because the psychedelic experience is like a UFO encounter on demand, you know.
Whoa, another acid flashback.
Patrick, hello. We'll lift you into orbit.
Real rocket man.
I'll take two.
That would probably kill a horse.
I said I'll take two.
Whatever.
They decide to have this curious, symmetry-breaking kind of experience. What I have tried to say to the UFO community is,
Hey, Patrick, you need some help.
Let him go, Ralph. He knows what he's doing.
We will not really have a deep understanding of what the contact experience is until we include data from the psychedelic experience as a legitimate data to be included when looking at the problem. The UFO phenomenon is a modern manifestation of pixies, elves, fairies, sprites, demons, whatever you wish to call them.
Angels.
Angels. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
angels.
Angels. In the past, we had a professional class for dealing with these go-betweens, shamans, and they mitigated these comings and goings and had a lore and a mythology about them.
Please, we don't want to hurt you. We want to reason with you. I'm a psychoanalyst. This is my pipe. I want to help you.
As we have lost contact with our shamanic roots, the things which go on at a low frequency out in the wilderness and deserts of this planet have become like us, either like invasions from another world or virtual impossibilities. I think that the flying saucer is knocking on our door to remind us of the depth and strangeness on this planet.
You and all of you, and it's gonna be worse, a lot worse.
Oh, honey, don't be so naive. That's how the world works.
But wouldn't there be a natural stage in the evolution of a society where it enters into a kind of interplanetary discourse?
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. Take this kind of data and deal with it the same way we might deal with our lunch or our toothpaste.
And not think of it as being some terrible possibility of an invasion of the lizard people from outer space.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
One possible view of the flying saucer is that it is a kind of projection from the consciousness of the planet, that it is Gaia, that it is in fact a kind of alchemical object haunting human historical time with a symbol of totality, the kind of totality that our religions and our mystical yearnings are so at pains to concretize for us.
What?
Mm-hmm. This was Jung's view. The Swiss psychologist Carl Jung, who in 1953 wrote a book called Flying Saucers, a Modern Myth of Things Seen in the Sky.
So in the fall of 53, for 3 or 4 months altogether, I drove all around the country interviewing people who had been mentioned in the early flying saucer books.
I'm getting this book on UFOs. Did you know they're real? But there's a huge comic conspiracy to cover it up.
Oh, that's just a paranoid fantasy.
So naive.
Who's naive?
I didn't say anything.
In the fall of 1953, which was the time that I got into the UFO field, so he got into it a year or so before I did.
Carl Jung saw in their circular form, in their scintillating, shining, alchemical brilliance, a symbol of human wholeness. To interpret them psychologically, to interpret them as one would interpret a dream.
I hope that if you all haven't seen a flying saucer, that eventually you will see one. If you haven't seen one, my advice would be not to look for them in outer space or even in another dimension. If you look deep inside yourself, there you will see them.
In a way, this kind of explanation is very satisfying. However, it is not satisfying to the person who has immediately undergone a very strange experience.
Unless such a person were told there are great messages of hope for the planet.
On some occasions, the messages are received by shortwave. On other times, by means of modulated light beam reception equipment. On a few occasions, they've even come by long-distance telephone.
Do you have all of that equipment in your home?
Yes, sir, we do.
Well, could we listen to this particular tape?
You certainly may.
Fine, let's listen.
Greetings in the light of our radiant one. I am Kwala. My purpose in speaking with you, my brothers and sisters, is in reference to what is termed your world situation. As all of you know, your planet at this time is experiencing a period of great unrest.
For instance, imagine, just as a possibility, that some naive, well-meaning alien should come down and try to address a joint session of Congress.
Who's naive?
I didn't say anything.
Well, what good would it do?
So naive.
It'll be a sensation in all of the tabloids and newspapers for a few weeks, and I'll be back to Monday Night Football. And so what good would additional information or inspiration be that came from outside?
Let's assume then for the moment that we are being visited by these aliens, as I presume you assume. What's in it for them? Why are they here? Why are they bothering with us?
Well, it's a very interesting planet, this particular time in its history. I mean, maybe there's only once every 500 million years that a particular planet goes through this phase of civilization.
Mm-hmm.
Last time this happened was several million years ago. It's happening again. They all gather around.
I mean, like a volcano ready to go off.
There's a volcano waiting to erupt in the Pacific Rim.
That's really hot, isn't it? Yeah, it looks like we're watching fireworks, doesn't it? But we're not. That's what's coming out of the center of the Earth. Wow. Here are all the dogs. There's no dogs. There's nothing living on Earth. Not even dinosaurs and prehistoric monsters. Nothing. There's nothing but land and volcanoes and the molten lava coming out and shooting up at 2300 degrees.
Burn it! Send it to hell!
We left the Earth, and I could see a hurricane down in the Gulf area from the craft. I took photos, but none of that. I took photos of the Earth, leaving the Earth. I took photos of approaching the moon. This is in 1956. Can you imagine how I felt? And this is before any of the astronauts went anywhere to speak of anything. I think the Russians got the other side of the moon photographed, and incidentally, the slides that I have, the overlays, fit right on top of that long before we ever got there, which in itself is evidence that I'd been there. But I'm not trying to prove that I've been to the moon. I don't care too much about that.
Beautiful, isn't it? Where are we then?
Well, this is technically what we call deep space. Well, it's technically what I'd call subtle.
Oh, look, come on, cheer up, everyone. We are 15 million light years from the nearest space route. There is no intelligent life around here anywhere.
How these aliens did this, I don't know. But I was in their control, and they helped me do all this. We took a picture of approaching the moon. We landed in the section where it was dark and light sort of area. And we did see things that they claim are not there now. So I can't prove anything.
35 years ago, we thought the whole space story was going to be imminent. It was going to be really quick. Everyone is going to accept the idea that there are higher civilizations, that we're going to learn from them, we're going to interact with them. No way.
Hasn't even begun.
How can they deal with us? Who can they deal with on this planet? The UN? We're just beginning to cooperate at the UN level. We haven't even begun to communicate with one another and to be civilized.
That's true.
We're very, very barbaric, and it's frightening.
Well, and this is a persistent part of the flying saucer phenomenon, that people who have close contact with the saucers return with messages of universal brotherhood and benevolence, with stories of a beneficent hegemony of organized intelligence, where wiser, older worlds and civilizations help younger and less mature worlds toward a kind of galactic citizenship.
Stick needles in my belly, take sample of my skin. I don't care as long as I can live with Saucer Man. I know that you don't take requests, but I'm a special case. Come on down, you Saucer Man, and take me off this space.
Rap on a crutch! Ah! You're milking red! Milking red!
These people are mistreated, they feel that they've been somehow exploited or hurt, and that their captors really don't think much.
As if they've been using guinea pigs.
Yeah,
sort
right.
Of test.
Even if UFOs had a physical reality, could be photographed or could be weighed and measured, they still might be projections of the human mind. Oh yes, this is an important point to make, which the flying saucer people are forever misunderstanding, and that is, saying that the flying saucer is a psychic object does not mean that it is not a physical object. The realm of the psychic and the realm of the physical meet in a strange kind of never-never land that we have yet to create the intellectual tools to explore. This is where the mystery of synchronicity is going to come to rest, the mystery of all kinds of paranormal activity on the part of human beings, and the mystery of the flying saucer. It's interesting, you see, that if you take the broad world of so-called mystery, parapsychological, shamanic, extraterrestrial, so forth, and hypothesize another spatial dimension, one more spatial dimension, then suddenly all these mysteries become trivial. They are easily done. Lost boxes are opened, future events are discerned, lost objects are found. This sort of thing becomes quite the ordinary run of things if we hypothesize dimensions hidden from ordinary
and experience. Of course, there's serious work at this point in the field of physics.
Yes, it's quite feasible. A parallel world, a planet, a whole new life form developing in much the same way as our own in a distant solar system. It's all here in document 14.
Good.
As time has passed and the number of sightings has gone from hundreds to thousands to hundreds of thousands of instances, as the myth has fleshed itself out with sub-themes, the theme of abduction, the theme of telepathic contact, it's become much more difficult to fit all the known facts into the simple model of the space-faring visitors from another world. So what we are left with then are a number of more exotic competing theories about the UFO.
Okay, it's now painfully clear. The adults are definitely paving the way for an invasion by the saucer people.
You fool! Can't you see it's a massive government conspiracy? Or have they gotten to you, too?
Haven't you ever heard of Occam's razor? The simplest explanation is probably the correct one.
So what's the simplest explanation?
I don't know. Maybe they're all reverse vampires and they have to get home before dark.
Ah! Reverse vampires!
We're through the looking glass here, people.
Now it's time we screwed them.
I'm ready for that knowledge, and I don't want to join a cult.
Join my cult. I mean, maybe we should start one.
Just a couple of nice guys
just
like
guys
us.
Like
right.
Us.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Shun charisma. That's the great trap.
Uh-huh.
What's up? Wait a minute. A false Sunni from the planet Bob is trying to park his flying saucer. Tell the whole world over their breakfast. Are you fish face?
Pardon me a minute. I hear you all talking in the back. Yeah, keep talking. I can hear you back there. You won't be talking after July 5th there. You'll be screaming in pain.
I cut my finger on a soup can lid. I got an infection and it spread to my dick. It swelled up to the size of a human head. And then a mouth opened on it. And this is what it said. It said to kill the pink boys. Quit your job. Mock the world and worship Bob Dobbs. We'll build a ship and take a trip. Come on and get a pin, write the coordinates. 3.5 months in my garage, tearing parts off of old used cars. My groin at this point was unusually large. It would occasionally hum while smoking cigars. Our project was finished, the ship would hold 20. The power source was anything the crew would think was funny. We didn't need the slackless, they're hapless. Our work group is worth it, escaping a stark fist. On our way to Planet X for sex, it wrecks next. A prairie squid in every pot of money shot at Connie Twan. It's an all-hoss hour of bonanza. It's like a world without Tony Danza. Or Banza, the pink fish that hits the charts. In a world of dead art, simultaneous lobotomy and sodomy. We take a moment and we pause to reflect on the pinks that we feel and the planet that they wreck. And we laugh like banshees and howl like Comanches to a victory dance. In our underoos and panties, our fantasy is a reality. Earth turns to dust.
As Bob's pipes lit, space and time shift, temporal disturbance, causes the flag to cross in, interdimensional split, severs forever, subgenite from being quick.
Bob walked in a circle, and steadily exhaled in the smoke, I can see why the pink boys fail.
Hey!
phase has caused destruction. Sick and full of slack with suction. Pay-per-view alien abduction. Functioning on solar slack, the money should be painted black. The beat from space that stole your balls will soon come back and take it all. Return to slack, return to ball. Repent slack off and quit your job. Slow the beast in our concrete. Lick the throbbing thing of slavery. Now you see. Like a baby, the bar will be up to keep on a job. The guy's been talking with the UFO in his garage.
I cut my finger on a soup can lid. I got an infection and it spread to my dick. It swelled up to the size of a human head. And then a mouth opened on it. And this is what it said. It said to kill the pink boys. Quit your job. Mock the world and worship Bob Dog. We'll build a ship and take a trip. Come on and get a pin, write the coordinates. 3.5 months in my garage, tearing parts off of old used cars. My groin at this point was unusually large. I would occasionally thump while smoking a cigar. Our project was finished, the ship would hold 20. The power source was anything to prove it was funny. We didn't need the slack, was there happens. Our birth group is worth it, escaping a stark bit. On our way to Planet X for sex, the Rex next. Very squint in every pot of money shot at Connie Quark. It's an all-lost hour of bonanza. The world without Tony Danza. A fans of the fiendish shit that hits the charts. In a world of dead hearts, simultaneous lobotomy and sodomy. We take a moment and we pause to reflect on the pinks that we feel in the planet that they wreck. We laugh like banshees and howl like the banshees to a victory dance. In our underoos and panties, our fantasy is a reality. Earth turns to dust, Planet X erupts for us.
Embrace the eddy blood that flows in your veins. Let the frog pond cloud breathe slack like rain. That bomb control what's left of your brain. Oh yeah, send all your money to the Reverend Isaac Stane. Embrace the eddy blood that flows in your veins. Let the frog pond cloud breathe slack like rain. That bomb control what's left of your brain. Oh yeah, send all your money to the Reverend Isaac Stane.
What the UFOs are doing to us is they are eroding faith in science by casting directly in the past of science a kind of gauntlet, a challenge. Crack this, almost as though the cosmic giggle had shown up at the bachelor party of science to spoil the bath. The UFO challenges the assumptions of science.
Gentlemen!
Doctor? 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 How many doctors are there on this planet?
Professor Simpson and his team have just completed a thorough physical examination of the aliens, and he has come to the conclusion that they are...
The UFOs are operating almost at the mythological level of our culture. They're not landing in the White House. They're not really challenging the military or NASA.
No, they're very mercurial, very watery. When you reach out toward them, there is nothing there. What they chiefly have become is an intellectual force in human thinking about the future, caught in the rational net.
Your description is strikingly actually parallel to the view of many fundamentalist Christians who say this UFO stuff is all the work of the devil.
Which is known throughout the universe for its stupidity. Even your Buddha and your Christ had quite a different vision, but nobody's paid much attention to them, not even the Buddhists or the Christians.
Well, I don't know about the work of the devil.
You humans, sometimes it's hard to imagine how you've made it this far.
Jung's criticism of Christianity was that it had not made a place for what he called the shadow. And he said Christian culture will always be neurotic because the shadow has not been included, so there's a lack of psychic balance.
It's funny, because it's true.
Well absorbed.
Perhaps the UFO carries compensatory psychic energy from the realm of the shadow. Some people are very frightened of it.
Dad!
Don't turn on the light! Don't turn on the light!
There's a UFO outside my window! Seriously! Can I sit on the roof with a baseball bat in case a UFO does come?
Yes, that's fine. Good.
Some people see it as an almost millenarian salvational hope.
Your time has come, you smart bastard! The aliens are here! We're all going to die!
Some people see it as a savior of mankind.
So naive.
I think that it's very powerful, that it haunts time like a ghost, that the messianic anticipations of fundamentalist Christianity and Islam are in fact a kicking up on the shockwave that the image of the flying saucer cast backward through time, that this image of the New Jerusalem, the four-gated city, descending from the sky to whisk the elect away to a better place, is a kind of prophecy yearning toward a fact in the act of becoming.
If ever there was a time when the skills that you are endowed with were what we have need of, then this is it.
We get older and we see all this. Unfortunately, we just get madder.
That's right.
And we thought this was going to be all known years ago. We're looking forward to a marvelous future. And it's been put off and put off. And now we look to maybe our grandchildren, or maybe our great-grandchildren.
Great-grandchildren.
And maybe even after that, enjoying the intercourse between the higher advanced civilization and interplanetary travel. It's in our future. There's no way we can escape it. It's there.
You suggest that UFOs are deliberately trying to manipulate our subconscious mind to create a mythology in our culture about themselves, which is one of the reasons that they're both physical and concrete, yet very elusive.
That opens a question of, could the UFO phenomenon be manipulating us? Could it be a teaching system?
That's dumb. This earth is dumb. First it's hot, then it's cold, then it's hot, then it's cold. Dumb, 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 da, dum, dum.
What happens to witnesses?
Mr. Rowe, you're certainly one of the world's leading contactees. How many trips have you made out of space?
Well, I'd say 350 or two more.
When was the last one?
Well, first part of June.
And who did you go with?
Well, people from Jupiter.
And where did you take off?
From my home.
Any special launching pad there?
No, there isn't. They come pick me up in a car.
Take me off to space, take me off to space. Come down here, saucer man, take me off to space.
Yeah.
Now, what about this?
What would happen to you and me if we were close to that source of energy? We're beginning to understand the physiological and the psychological correlations of a close encounter.
Yes.
And that's something that's very difficult to convey to the believers in UFOs, or believers in little green men from space. You know, at that level, it really doesn't matter whether UFOs are real or not. Mm-hmm. If enough people believe that something is real, then it is real in its effects.
In terms of social reality.
What? Oh, who would have believed it? Who would have dreamed that the aliens live right next door in the next trailer? What'll they be talking about? What plans for the future of mankind? Will it be conspiracy or brotherhood? Oh, well, Seeker, we're about to find out.
This is the weirdest thing I've ever seen.
Oh, my God.
Are they gone into the bedroom?
They've been screwing us for a long time.
Hey, look, I'm a super intelligent being. By Earth standards, I have an IQ of 1600, and I can't even understand what you expected from that relationship.
I'm so young.
Not from around here, but a real square little feller.
Oh, come now, we've been through so much together. Just call me Bob.
On July 12th, I took a trip in a flying saucer, which I am pointing right here. The saucer was well equipped with rooms, bedrooms, bathroom, toilets, and this saucer I went up into Mars, over the moon, Venus, Clarion, and Orion. When I say Orion, I do not mean Orion. It is a planet outside of our galaxy.
And we're talking here about phenomena that are typically called flying saucers or UFOs, and we're really dealing with visitors from another planet or another star system.
It's pretty well concluded now. There's just extraterrestrial spacecraft.
Well, talk about Star Wars!
Yeah!
Star Wars, huh?
Well, let me ask you this.
These movies here, are they doing any justice to the real phenomenon that you look at?
Steven Spielberg needs a little help in trying to get realism into his pictures.
Mm-hmm.
There's no doubt about that.
Excuse me, what have you got against intellectuals?
Intellectuals, nothing. Why?
I've seen all your films. You really feel threatened by them.
Threatened? You're kidding, Ilya. I've always said they're like the mafia. They only kill their own.
That's exactly the attitude I was talking about.
For instance, a woman who was a UFO investigator who was very interested in UFOs, and that's part of the profile of someone who might have had an experience. She said, you know, I was driving down through this little valley, and I had a premonition that something was going to happen. When I got up out of the other side, it was nothing. So I got out my little pendulum, had to hold it, and it swings with the unconscious movement of the arm. Did you stop the car? She said, oh, no. But the pendulum swung, yes. Did you get out of the car? No. The pendulum swung, yes. Did you see a UFO when you got out of the car? I don't remember anything like that. Pendulum said yes.
Well, I acquired it legally. You can be sure of that.
How do we know that?
They gave one to me, one to Steven Spielberg, then they shot the guy who made it.
Oh, I'd hate to be in that union.
Not only had she gotten out of the car, she had seen a UFO. It was parked over off the road, and she was walking towards it. Mm-hmm.
So I thought I saw a UFO once.
Really?
Yeah, but I'd taken a lot of mescaline every time, so I don't know.
Well, that will do it to you.
Yeah, I was down in Mexico. I was with my English professor. We were having an affair, and he was married. It was a really terrible situation.
You thought you saw a UFO?
Yeah, we really thought we did.
Wow.
I mean,
it's a delusion.
Well, I won't go into any further details, but she had a very interesting experience that she'd never remembered before.
The numbers who have had contacts with these aliens, how has it affected their lives?
They very often have a religious kind of conversion, although not of a formal sort. They're good people, and they've generally been influenced in good ways, maybe.
So naive.
And there are some people who've got glimpses of it, perhaps, from here. And they yen for something like that. They're looking for the family that maybe in some vague way they've known about.
Mm-hmm.
They join cult groups.
Friends, there's a force that runs through the universe. We used to call that force God. We now call it...
the Church of the Subgenius.
May I quote an editorial I wrote once, "The World Without Flying Saucers," and then right across the page, "Lifeless." In those days, there was a good amount of atomic experimentation going on, and I was virtually asked to found an organization and bring people together like mine.
Check the systems through and they rest A-OK. Some tiny fuse has probably blown. Sit back, relax, and soon it will just go away. Keep your hands off that red telephone.
Can we get back to the subject of UFOs? I mean, that's what this party's for anyway, isn't it?
Is it true that you're a UFO freak? No. Our car broke down. I really admire your work, sir.
Well, thanks very much.
You have such a degenerate mind.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for coming. They're all different sizes. They're all different shapes.
She's just a friend. Are you both into Martians?
Oh, I know you don't like to do this. Can I kiss you?
Hey, you know, you should make a film about flying saucers.
Yeah, you only make films about people with personality disorders.
Sandy?
Yeah?
I can prove that if there's life anywhere else in the universe, they will have a Marxist economy.
Yes. Excuse me? Yes, I'm an occult nutritionist.
No, I think mind control has been overemphasized. See, if you were a truly benevolent alien and didn't want to invade Earth, you'd also hold off from delving into a person and making him do things against his will.
Sort of like the prime directive in Star Trek.
Yeah, that's a nice idea. Well, the guy who ran that Star Trek had a lot of things going for him. Wasn't that Bruce Geller? Bruce Geller.
I'm not quite sure who it was.
Stupid!
You humans.
You've mentioned that there are many people who have been influenced by the extraterrestrials and are not even aware of it, but some things like the movies we see, the TV shows, you think there may be some influences there?
I have a friend who's a writer in Hollywood, and he told me when he was 21 years old, he was crossing the Mojave Desert, and a UFO swooped down over his car and saw it zooming away into the sky, and he kept on driving. Nothing happened.
Yeah.
After that, his life took a different turn. He became more serious, and he had a goal in life.
And that little boy, whom nobody liked, grew up to be Roy Cohn.
Wow!
And now you know the rest of the story.
You've identified at least two distinct groups of aliens.
A lot more than two groups, but you could put them in two camps.
Okay.
Now, Camp One have just recently arrived, doing their investigations from Square One. Camp 2 have been around a long time. They're also the ones that induce a feeling of friendliness in part of the people they pick up.
was picked up on a desert, in California desert, and I was taken to the mothership and they were flown around, not too close to the moon, but with instruments. Similar, you might say, except it wasn't a camera. It was a regular sort of a telescopic instrument that we were able to see what was on the moon on the other side of it. See?
It looked like this.
Burn it! Burn it to hell!
The people think of themselves as being picked up by old friends.
Came crawling out of a well wearing ladies' shoes. Didn't know what milk was. Real little, smooth like baby's feet, with big friendly eyes. He sounds like a real nice guy. Took him to the Swiss picnic for a good time, and he choked to death on a piece of cheese.
Yeah, right.
Now, of course, it's maybe a psychological manipulation, but so what? It's nice to have them do that kind of psychological manipulation.
Yeah. Similar maybe to some of the movies that have come out lately with the friendly aliens.
Well, yeah, not the lizard ape.
Uh-huh.
None of them are quite as good looking.
There are three extraterrestrials of humanoid Caucasian appearance. The leader is male, about 31, 6'2", 190 pounds, pallid complexion, lank, greasy hair. The second is of indeterminate sex, 28, 5'10", 145 pounds, short dark hair, pale skin. The female is 26, looks younger. She has a delicate complexion and excellent bone structure. Her eyes are hazel, flecked with gray, and sometimes a little sad. Her voice is throaty, hands exquisite, and she's said to have a certain indefinable something. They were highly intelligent and potentially dangerous. We'll be going back to England for on-the-spot interviews and continuous updates throughout the night.
They got it wrong!
They have been dealing with the what you would call the real smart aliens, not the ones who have just been here recently and are kind of bumbling.
Here comes something.
Remember the story where newlyweds on our way to Earth capital.
No, Shazbot.
I don't wish to dwell on technical matters, but these visitors from outer space, they are what we scientists call brainless.
Brainless?
They're thick, stupid, dum-dums, crusts, twits, morons.
Who don't invoke a very good amnesia.
Graduate students from Alpha Centauri on their first mission, isn't it?
That's right. They're still doing their PhD thesis on planet Earth.
Uh-huh.
No one could have guessed what was inside. Hey, look, they're drinking tea. Hey, look, it's on TV. Turn on and see two worlds collide. We're morons. Welcome to our pressure dome. Welcome to our robot home. Up in the sky. We're morons. People say we've come so far, but we don't know.
The really smart ones, you'll never know that you have anything to do with them.
Perhaps there's some people who've had this kind of contact themselves and may or may not know
about
it. What would be some of the characteristics?
Well, a person who has been fascinated with no particularly good reason, been fascinated with UFOs, science fiction, Star Trek, has a psychic streak in him, and has fallen in love absolutely without any good reason with someone, and then finds afterwards he has also had an interest in UFOs and psychic things. Now, not any one of these things, or not all of them, are necessary, but you can find a little profile there.
Wing, wing, wing.
Dateless wonders.
Now, I don't know how many people you'd have to influence in that way in order to get a Steven Spielberg, but you got one. And if Steven Spielberg's listening, maybe he'd like to talk to me about this. Call the University of California, ask for Mr. UFO.
The switchboard operator knows already.
Yeah, the Office of Public Relations over there knows where to send them.
UFO and its followers, perverts, monomaniacs, dipsomaniacs, artists of the fast buck, true believers, objective believers, new age believers, Kehoe believers, shushed by the three men or masturbated by spacemen. A UFO is a bucket of shit. That's the title. And I sit here writing while it drips down my face in great rivulets.
I think one of the interesting things to mention about you is the fact that you were the person that Steven Spielberg modeled a character of a UFO researcher on in his classic movie Close Encounters of the Third Kind. You don't seem to be jumping on the extraterrestrial visitors bandwagon.
That's what was the main point of disagreement with Steven Spielberg.
Here,
and we had a long discussion about what UFOs could be. And of course, for him, the main point of the movie was entertainment. Disappointed if UFOs turn out to be nothing more than visitors from another planet, because I think they could be something much more interesting.
Something from another dimension of space or time?
I think what the UFO phenomenon is teaching us is that we don't understand time and space. I think we have to call them objects that are physical, that interact with the environment, that cause effects on the witnesses, on the psychology and the physiology of the witnesses, and leave traces on the ground, and yet are capable of, appear to be capable of manipulating time and space in ways that go beyond what our physics understands today.
The Air Force investigated UFOs and issued a report couched in polite language, which translated means...
Now, let's have no more curiosity about this bizarre cover-up.
We'd like to ask you some questions, if that's all right.
Be my guest.
Good. Let's start with this idea of light travel, shall we? What can you tell us about that?
Absolutely nothing. If I told you, you'd blow yourselves up. Or worse, someone else. You'd be surprised how much energy is in a beam of light.
Well then, maybe you could show us how this light travel works.
You humans are travel light.
He was referred to as Dr. X. One night he saw some flashes of red light behind the shutters of his house.
I saw an intensely bright, white green object in the sky at about 45 or 50 degrees off the horizon. It must have been traveling at incredible speed, since it disappeared out of sight in a matter of a second or two. Now, I wouldn't want to say that this was one of those so-called flying saucers, but whatever it was an object and not an illusion.
And so he opened the windows and stepped out on his balcony in the middle of the night and saw two objects that appeared to merge into a single object, and a beam of light went through the balcony where it was standing.
Don't believe it? Well, listen to this.
First I thought it was a big old dog, because of the way it howled and how it had them big friendly eyes. But I had to ask myself what the hell was it doing up in the graveyard, digging up the ground with a shovel. Thought I was crazy. I'm not a drinking man on duty, Mr. Cox, not me. You know, I figured it was one of them werewolves we're having, so I slipped a wooden load in my shotgun, and then all of a sudden, now this is going to sound crazy, a big dark shape with flashing lights come up over the top of the hill. That one right over there. It's about 100 miles an hour. This dog, a wolf, or whatever it was, it took off like a bug rabbit over that dry hump over there. Hey, just a minute, will you? And, I'm not a drinking man, Mr. Cox. I swear to hell I saw it.
That was no crazed sterno bum, but a respected law enforcement officer, Sheriff Luger Axhandle of Heater County, California. Crumbling remnant of the Old West, or could it be the final resting place of a little guy from outer space? Could be, could be. All I know is everything you know is wrong.
You indicated to me that Dr. X seemed to have acquired certain psychic gifts. In fact, his whole life was changed, his attitudes changed.
That's not unusual. Many of the, when you investigate a case like this, what you find is usually a witness is in a state of trauma, has been shocked.
Well, this was a great shock to me.
Shocked into, very often their view of themselves, their view of the world around them, their view of the universe has been shattered by this experience.
I don't want to die.
Whether they are religious or not religious, whether they are, you know, a cop driving on a lonely road or a PhD or a bank president, I mean, they go through this very shadowy experience. And many people react with an awareness of abilities that they didn't know they had before. They will tell you, I don't think the experience itself gave me that ability, but if now there's an intelligence involved, then it becomes much more complex.
So a humanistic approach.
Oh, Christ.
God, you're dumb.
Dumb, dumb, dumb. Dumb, dumb, dumb.
Yes, and it may be that the people responsible for that manifestation understand the impact that the phenomenon will have on us, on our own imagination. It may be that there is a collective unconscious.
UFOs are ourselves.
There are no UFOs in the manufactured sense.
We're out of time now.
Enough of this deception and trickery. I admit it. I was taken in too by clever fakes like this.
Meanwhile.
Huh? That's weird. It's like something out of that Twilighty show about that zone.
My God. What is that? What?
Well, there's my ride.
I got one. I got a spaceship. They're coming.
Oh, holy crap.
I got a spaceship.
Bob, there's something on the screen.
Yes. It might be him, but the picture isn't very clear.
My God. Bob, it's coming right at us.
I can't believe it. Look at those tentacles.
They're coming. From outer space, they're coming. They're going to enter our atmosphere.
Through clear skies, tracking lightly from far down the line. No fanfare, just a blip on the screen. No quick conclusions, now everything will be fine. Short circuit glitch and not what it seems.
Oh, hello.
Alien? What do you mean, alien? What do you mean from another planet?
That's a tricky one, isn't it?
Mm. Well, if they're still alive, don't let them out of their flying saucer. We don't want a lot of little green men terrorizing the home counties during Ascot Week, do we? Mm? Yes, all right. Full emergency.
You hear the news? The three aliens are coming to New York. One night only. $2,000 a ticket.
So what do you guys see it for? To see flying saucers land? Is that going to happen tonight?
When they arrive, it's going to mean the dawn of a whole new civilization.
Space creatures conspiring with the Soviet government already control our thoughts by sending out electrical currents from the top of the Empire State Building, and I'm the only one that knows.
If you're alienating, can you still help children?
Oh, sure. Alienation only affects the mind. It has nothing to do with the rest of the world.
We are going to see more and more of these visitors from space, and that before too long, the evidence will be incontrovertible that you will have on your TV screens and on your movie screens concrete evidence that the ships are here and that they are real and they're not fantastic things which have been cooked up to make a movie.
I have made telepathic contact for the past 8 years with many space people from many areas of space, both inside and outside of the solar system.
Well, this device right here is one that we've used to contact the people in the flying saucers. It receives the messages on a beam of light, and it is in turn translated by this unit and brought out as intelligible voice speech.
You mean to say you've actually received messages?
That's right.
From the flying saucers?
That's right.
How about letting me try it, Dick, and see if I can get something on it?
Receiving transmission from Galactic Headquarters. On my planet, all of you will be free men, not locked away like animals. Be free. Find your own happiness.
Is that recording good enough to identify the thing?
Yeah, right.
Guys, Bob is my only hope. Back off and give him some room to think.
From that fateful day when stinking bits of slime first crawled from the sea and shouted to the cold stars,
I don't know why I'm out of color.
Our greatest party. But tonight, we shall hurl the gauntlet of science into the frightful face of death itself. Tonight, we shall ascend into the heavens. We shall mock the earthquake. We shall command the thunders and penetrate into the very womb of impervious nature herself.
Code Red. Enemy spacecraft approaching Mark 44.
Bob? Well, he's up there, lost in space. I hope.
I must go home.
Yeah, sure, Annie.
I must leave this planet at once. Has anyone seen my spaceship?
He's delirious.
Take me to your leader.
It's going to be okay, honey. Just relax. Everything's fine.
Look, I am not talking to you. I'm talking to him.
Oh, she's not a woman. She's a Terminator.
You'd better go now, Madge.
I won't go home alone.
Bob will take you.
I don't want to have anything to do with it.
Okay.
What are you people all joking? Don't you know I'm joking anyone?
Everything all set for the big party?
We're getting there.
I'm gone. I'll tell you, Beth. Susie here still loves the Whopper.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks, Frank.
So who's all that ointment for?
They've been screwing us for a long time. Now it's time we screwed
them. Old Pat, ready to go?
Wait, I travel light. That's a joke.
It's a bad joke.
You humans, there's just no sense of humor.
Right, yeah, yeah, check, yeah, we're already. Yes, you bet, we're already.
He's gonna regret this, I'll show him.
No, don't go. You mustn't go out there.
I can't stand this.
But he's a robot. He wants to take me back to the ship.
It's your old pal, Bernard! The fourth alien!
There is no fourth alien.
Well, I'm here, look.
Look at you. You don't even look like an alien. Ambrose, will you get rid of this autograph hunter?
No! Don't! No. Help me! You simpleton, don't you understand? I'm the fourth alien!
Some years ago, we were in the habit of sending chimpanzees into outer space. Someone, somewhere, has gone one better. They're completely worthless. They know as much about the secrets of the universe as my mother's Labrador.
Enemy battlecruiser, Medusa class configuration. Length 6,324 feet. Fully armored. 28 laser rocket guns.
Their aircraft are so primitive. It's no challenge.
They're just gonna have to give up. They've no choice but to accept all of our demands.
Army fighter planes are on patrol for flying saucers. Cameras installed to photograph them. Portland, Oregon, the area from which came the first weird reports. This flying saucer patrol shows how the Air Forces, while not putting too much stock in the mysterious things in the sky, are investigating. The control tower's in touch and on the watch. So are a whole lot of people these days. They're seeing flying saucers everywhere. Flocks of fantastic discs flying through the air. Is there something to it? Or is it an epidemic of people just seeing things? Even the goat seems to be looking for the mysterious discs. And the bear is on the alert. Or maybe there's a flying saucer with milk.
Now, let's have no more curiosity about this bizarre cover-up.
Maroon alert, or even vermilion.
These are no pinheads from another planet. These are no pea brains from beyond. These are mind suckers. My God. Haven't any of you seen Invasion of the Body Snatchers?
No.
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 Yes. I mean, no. No.
Let's kill him.
Well, I've been up all night. I've got a real story for you up to now. Proof and everything. The aliens have landed among us. I'm not hot dogging you. We've got to start protecting ourselves.
Said protect and you said abide.
the time we've not got. Gideon.
Wait a minute, Stanley. We don't even know if it's an alien spaceship yet.
Listen, I've been in television for over 40 years, and I can recognize the inexplicable and unknown when I see it.
Chief Inspector Miller, local police.
Chief here, how's it going?
Hell of a mess, sir. It's attracted every crackpot in the country.
May I present the man who will unravel the mysteries of the aliens' language?
I tell you what, man, I mean, why could come crack down on Lennox, man? It'll look like a damn apocalypse now, man.
Local fire department.
How's it going?
Oh, terrible. Lost three men. The flames are completely out of control.
Good, good. Well done.
Get off my hand, all of you, and take your army with you!
Have that woman shot, will you?
Someone's crying on the roof above. All the media here for the show.
And now, the moment you've been waiting for. The aliens are about to materialize before your eyes. They came to us from a far distant planet, and now here they are in our midst.
Happening.
What?
It's an attack.
Excellent.
Now it's time we screwed them.
Meanwhile, far below the Earth's surface,
Lieutenant Dobbs and I have been training local pilots and Cobras for their own strike forces against the cartel.
Lee, this is Snake 2, entering sector 4079.
Roger, advise to leave Dobbs of our position.
Wilco, Dobbs. How's the view up front, buddy?
I'm not crazy about it, man. I'll be glad when we get out of this canyon.
I was flying wing that day with Captain Tejada. Lieutenant Dobbs, the other American, was a flight leader in the front program. We were entering a sector we'd never been before.
The thing of it is, Bob, I got a bad feeling on this one. I don't think I'm going to make it up.
Get thee behind me!
Are you in danger, Pastor?
All right, Roger. Just a little argument with my co-pilot.
Over.
That's great.
Meanwhile...
Bandits are approaching the station. They're coming straight at us.
It's the monster!
Nah, it can't be!
It is!
I have visual. No, bearing 235, 40 degrees.
What the hell is going on?
We're under attack.
Yeah, right.
Thanks, Bob is my only hope. Back off.
How can one ordinary man have so many enemies?
Oh, of course, that's just for starters.
You smart bastard!
We were 5 miles from the objective when we saw the Scorpion attack helicopter.
There he is!
Try to jump the other way, now, Doc.
Dobbs, move here, you're 12 o'clock!
Son, you're on your own, take your best shot.
Here I am,
Tyree. He's turning over!
Dobbs ain't a guy who likes being taken advantage of.
Breaking formation. Steady, steady. Stay with him.
Let's kill him.
Hey, I dub. What I owe you? With interest.
Dobbs! Snake 2 Blackhawk, get the hell out of there!
Dobbs.
Bob.
Bob is dead. They shot him in the head.
You want to make an omelet, you got to break some eggs.
Son of a bitch, bastard, I'll get you for this. What did you do to me? What did you do to me?
So, space travelers come halfway across the universe to this planet, and this is how we greet them, is it? With rocks and with avocados. You ought to be ashamed of yourselves. These aren't space monsters with TV aerials stuck on their heads. They haven't come here to zap your planet with their ray guns. These are fellow beings. Come in peace. To do a bit of shopping. People of Earth. We should count ourselves privileged. Yeah, privileged. To greet these intrepid pioneers who come so far across the space.
Oh, who would have believed it?
What happens is going to happen to you and all of you. And it's going to be worse. A lot worse.
That's great.
Now, let's have no more curiosity about this bizarre cover-up.